Matthew 4:23, the Bible said, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's why in Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Because you can't make it without the gospel. You can't make it without being born again. If you could do it on your own, you'd have done it on your own. But you show up a few days before Christmas on a Sunday morning when you got a dozen other things to do because you couldn't do it on your own. Because something inside of you is saying, if I could just get what they got, I got a feeling everything is gonna be all right. If I could just walk in heavenly places and experience that power. That's why. In Mark 16, Jesus commanded the disciples, he said, you preach the gospel to every man, every woman, every child, every ethnicity, every language group, in every village, every town, every city, every state, every nation, because only the gospel of the kingdom of God can turn your life around. Only the gospel of the kingdom can wipe away every tear. Only the gospel of the kingdom can mend every broken heart. Only that gospel of the kingdom can make all things new. Only that gospel of the kingdom, that death, burial, and resurrection, that repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, that infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's only that gospel that heals the sick and raises the dead and delivers the drug addict and sets the alcohol, that addict of alcohol, on a better path of sobriety and peace and joy. It's only the gospel that'll heal your marriage and heal your babies and give you a hope and a future. It's only the gospel. And if you know it and you got it, you ought to clap your hands. You ought to shout. So that's what I want to preach for a few moments today. And I won't preach long. I know Bobby has Christmas presents to buy, and I don't want to hold him up. But apparently my wife does too. And so what an honor it is to be here with you today. I sure love you all very much. I don't take it lightly to be afforded the opportunity to be with you at Christmas time. This is 2 years in a row I've got to be here at Christmas time and be a part of this great body. And I love your pastor and his wife and their family so very much. And, of course, it's great to see Sister Ashton. She's already left. She's like, he's preached too long already. She's gone. I don't even see her back there anymore. And so, Brother and Sister Smith, good to see you as well. And what a blessing you were in Switzerland, and we honor you for that. Thank you. I want to preach to you for a few moments simply. There is nothing like the gospel of the kingdom. There is nothing like the gospel of the kingdom. And if you know it, you got it. Why don't you shake hands with two people, look them in the eye, and say, you better get ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time, would you clap your hands to the Lord and somebody just thank God for being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Somebody thank God that you're new creatures in Christ Jesus and old things have passed away. Somebody thank God for the kingdom that's come alive in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We just returned 2 weeks ago from the nation of El Salvador. We were in Panama for a week before that, meeting with the national church, planning a crusade in Panama for 2026 and, or forgive me, 2025. And then, of course, we went right from Panama over to the nation of El Salvador, where we were doing a crusade in every region of El Salvador back to back. 2 days, 4 crusades, 4 regions. And we, I don't know if you know the system of crusade teams in Global Harvest, but we always show up, we're boots on the ground by Tuesday and boots off the ground by the following Monday. But during that first 3 days that we are boots on the ground in a crusade, we have a lot of training and impartation and equipping. And we do a lot of cool experiences with the team to get them ready for what God is going to do in that nation. And so the first day we were boots on the ground, we went to El Pital, which is one of the highest mountains. It's a place where it's an old volcano. I think it's still a little, I don't know if it's active anymore, but I know we went up to this El Pital, and so we get up there, and there was a man on our team. His name was Brother Monks, and he is out of Strathmore, California, out of Brother Treadway's church. And about a year before the crusade, he had been in a lawn accident, and he had caught a rock underneath the weeding machine, and it flew up and hit him in his right eye and blinded him permanently. And he began to pray and ask God for a miracle. And God told him a year before the crusade, God said, you are going to be healed when the fire falls. Well, for a year, he was in a lot of fire-filled services. And about a week before the crusade, he was feeling disappointed and frustrated and uncertain. And he was in prayer and he said, when are you going to heal my blind eye? And the Lord told him in prayer, he said, you will not leave the nation of El Salvador before I give you a brand new eye. So we go up on the mountain El Pital, and we are from this vantage point. You can see Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, and parts of El Salvador. And so we take the team up there where we can begin to pray for great harvest in those nations. And so we got on the mountain, began to prophetically pray. And as we were praying on the mountain, there was a husband and wife that were staying in one of the resorts up there, and they saw these 42 team members gathered praying in all directions. And when they began to pray, something began to draw the married couple, and they came right down into the middle of our group with tears streaming down their faces and said, whatever you people have, we got to have it right now. One of the team members led that husband and wife through a prayer of repentance. Seconds later, the fire of the Holy Ghost began to fall on El Pital. And all of a sudden, that husband and that wife who came hungry were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, just like the Bible says. When they got the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to Brother Monks and said, "This is the fire I'm talking about." Instantaneously, on the top of El Pital, Brother Monks threw his hands in the air. The team gathered around him and began to pray. I'm talking instantly. He opened up his eye, and when he did, he could see everything crystal clear. Not a process of healing, not a period of time. I'm telling you that God instantaneously opened up a blind eye on the top of El Pital. The moment that God did that miracle, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Brother Monks must testify about this miracle at every single crusade over the next 2 days." Well, he's kind of like a background guy at their local church. Never gets in a pulpit, never been in a pulpit. When I told him that, he got his eye back and almost lost his life. He almost died when I said he had to speak in front of thousands of people. But from those four services, every time that Brother Monks got in the pulpit and began to talk about God restoring his sight, in less than 4 days in El Salvador, over 1,000 blind people received their sight. I have never seen it like that before. I've seen many blind people receive their sight, Pastor, but I have never seen God do mass, miraculous opening of eyes where over 1,000 notable miracles of the blind. I've come to tell somebody, there is nothing like the gospel of the kingdom of God. I don't care what your situation is. I know God is able. Over 1,150 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Nothing like the gospel. Just a few months ago, it was in July. We were in the nation of Angola, and we went there to meet with 21 Trinitarian pastors and 600 Trinitarian believers. They wanted to hear about the gospel. So I took a small team, about 11 of us went over there to meet with them and talk with them. And we had 3 days of training with these national pastors. And you don't know much about maybe how the crusade team operates, but I don't normally preach or teach on crusades at all. I might teach in the mentoring sessions, but I don't preach in the main crusades because I don't think that that serves the kingdom, because there's so many people who need to be developed. So I don't think that it needs a personality. It just needs a kingdom opportunity. And so we like to create these moments for people to serve in unique capacities that stretch them, and they develop and grow and come back and lift the arms of their pastors and be dynamics, a servants of the Lord locally. But in this crusade in Angola, 3 days after training, 3 days we'd been in a room with 600 Trinitarians and 21 Trinitarian pastors. 3 days, and nobody moved, not one ounce. I mean, dead silent. In that silence, you could feel that there were people who wanted to respond, but they were waiting to see what their pastors would do. Well, Friday night, I was asleep when the Lord woke me up and said, "You are preaching in the morning." And I kind of was excited about it until he told me what I was going to preach. And then I was like, you know, Lord, there's so many other people who could do this. And we negotiated, and then we lost. I lost. But he said, "You're going to preach, but you're going to preach to them and prophesy over them." He said, "You're going to step into the pulpit and you're going to prophesy that I am taking their churches away from them." And you're going to tell them that they are all going to lose their pastorates this day, that I will replace them with people that will not hold back the body from being born again. So I show up on Saturday morning and I come downstairs and I told the team, I said, "Guys, I need everybody to give me 5 minutes of your time. I feel like the Lord's given me a word." And so I get there that morning, and just like the 3 days before, it's completely quiet. They're sitting on the word, unresponsive, unwilling to receive the gospel. And all of a sudden, God said, "Speak now." I went to the pulpit and I said, "Thus saith the Lord." I said, "Get your affairs in order." I said, "Every one of you will be replaced this day." I said, "God has taken your churches from you and will put pastors in that church that love the truth and will allow the people to love the truth." When I said that with fear and trembling, God always gives me the rough jobs. I mean, it's not fair. And so I said that, and when I said it, all 21 of those pastors, I'm talking instantaneously, ran to the front, fell into the dirt floor, and began to repent of their sins. For 1 hour, I preached against their pride and arrogance. 1 hour, I preached how God was going to overthrow their leadership. 1 hour. While they laid in the dust repenting, the 600 believers had joined their pastors on the ground repenting of their sins. All of a sudden, the Lord said, "Because they have repented, I will fill them with the Spirit and I will repent of what I have planned for them." I delivered the word of the Lord to that body. And when I said that, you can't even imagine what overtook that room of Trinitarians. 600 Trinitarians and 21 Trinitarian pastors begin to shout the name of Jesus with such just love and humility. And there was such a sense of thankfulness and gratitude and hunger in one single moment. 21 Trinitarian pastors were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. 21 pastors were filled with the Spirit, baptized in the only saving name of Jesus. 408 believers were filled with the Holy Ghost in one service. Very next morning, Pastor, we went to the ocean. They said, "Be at the ocean at 10 a.m. We'll be there with buses." They showed up with buses loaded with Trinitarians to be rebaptized in the only saving name of Jesus. We had a line of 7 preachers in the ocean and lines of people that just kept coming. For over an hour, we kept baptizing people in water, in the only, no negotiations, no debate, nobody saying, well, my mama said, they understood there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Left that evening, started driving to the restaurant. You know, when you're in a foreign country, I don't know if you guys do this, but if I'm in an Uber or if I'm in a bus being driven by a national we don't know, I always put on the GPS to make sure we're going where we said we're going. That's just wisdom. That ain't fear. That's just common sense. Okay? Matter of fact, I mean, this is just normal procedural stuff. You know, we got a word in Panama 2 weeks ago. Two of our team members had a dream that the team was going to be caught in an ambush in a remote area and everybody was going to die. So we went to prayer about it. I didn't feel fear, Pastor. It wasn't about fear, but I felt like the Lord said, just be wise. And so I called the National Church leadership, and I said, I need you to go back to the drawing board, reevaluate where we're staying. I want to talk about the convoy. I want to talk about security. I want to talk about all these things again, and we're going to do the best we can to mitigate risk. Of course, nothing happened. God protected us, but just because God protects you doesn't mean that you can't be wise. And so I always kind of put on Google Maps, or I don't know why I said Google Maps. What's it called? Apple Maps? I don't know. I'm an Apple guy. I'm apostolic all the way. And so I put it on there, and I was noticing we were not going to the restaurant. We were going somewhere else. So I put my hand on the shoulder of our driver, and I said, hey, buddy, where are we going? He said, yeah, I got to take you to my wife. She needs the Holy Ghost too. He drives me and our team to his house. We get to the house. The wife and the children are all waiting on the curb. They all jump on the bus with us, line up down the middle of the bus. God filled our bus driver, his wife, his four children with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We baptized all of them the very next day in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Nothing like the gospel of the kingdom of God. Just stand with me. I'm almost done. I know Brother Bobby has things to do. I love this man. Fellow military guy. I like military guys. Good guys. Get back in the bus. Head to the restaurant. We found a Brazilian steakhouse in Luanda, Angola. There were more flies in that restaurant than there were people. Flies everywhere. Flies on the meat. It was nasty. And I felt a burden not to eat that day. I felt a call to fasting came upon me. And for the first time, I just agreed with God without arguing. And so we get in there, and whole team is sitting around a table with some of the national leadership, and a musician can come. That way it gives them hope, whatever you guys do. And so we are sitting there talking, and somebody said, tell us about victory reports. So I start sharing these things that God is doing all over the world. And I notice, Brother Bobby, at the back of the restaurant, I notice there's seven waiters standing together, listening to every single word we're saying. I mean, the whole restaurant's on pause, and they are attentively listening to every word. I stood up in the middle of the restaurant, and I said, well, if you're going to listen, you might as well come on over here. So these seven waiters came and gathered around the table to hear more. Few moments later, I look up, and many of them were already weeping, tears coming down their faces. They didn't care what anybody thought. They just wanted what we were talking about. They wanted to experience this joy. We led these waiters through a prayer of repentance. The team gathered around. We started to pray. All of a sudden, instantaneously, God filled all seven of those waiters with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Effectively shut down the entire restaurant. All of the waiting staff is speaking with other tongues. All of a sudden, I feel this pulling on my pant leg. And I look behind me, and there's a distinguished couple kneeling on the floor. The senior pastor of the largest Baptist church in the city of Luanda. He and his wife are knelt down behind me, tears streaming down their faces. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "whatever you gave them, you better give to us." He said, "I've been praying that God would give me this Pentecost experience." He said, "Would you pray for me right now?" And in the middle of a Brazilian steakhouse in Luanda, Angola, God filled the pastor and his wife with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Over an hour, the Holy Ghost just kept falling in that restaurant. We had no idea of the connections, the setups of God. You don't get lucky in the kingdom of God. Everything's a setup. After this outpouring, this Baptist pastor was connected to this, the advisor, the Christian advisor to the president of Angola. So the advisor to the president calls a meeting with me, gathers together with my team, a couple members of my team. I didn't take everybody. Come walking into this meeting, and he said, "What you just made available to all of these Trinitarian churches," he said, "every Trinitarian church in Angola needs." He said, "If we call the president and we secure the soccer stadium next year in July," he said, "and we organize all of the Trinitarians in the capital city to be there," he said, "would you come and would you preach the gospel to every one of us?" Now, I have to be honest. I'm the faith guy, but I wasn't sure. I'm like, you know, I started trying to talk him off a cliff. I'm like, "Now listen to me, buddy." I said, "I don't really know who you are." I said, "You don't really know who I am, but whatever we do, it has to be a win. You can't have a loss. If you rent a stadium and you fill it with 2,000 people instead of 40,000 people," I said, "people don't do that again." I said, "How do I know that you can do what you say you can do?" He said, "I can make one phone call right now." The guy makes a phone call, calls the president, and says, "We need this stadium on this date." In our meeting, he calls and secures a stadium. He said, "I give you my word." He said, "We will fill it with every Trinitarian in Angola." Friends, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that God is setting up this world just like he set you up this morning. He is setting up the world to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to repent of their sins, to be baptized in water in the only saving name of Jesus. God is fixing to return. He is fixing to come back for his church, and he's setting up this world for an acceleration of of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost where millions and billions are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Friends, you better get ready because it's going to happen right here in this city. God's going to give you a revival of Trinitarians that's going to be too big for this building. Matter of fact, in September, I was in the nation of Mongolia, the communist nation of Mongolia, preaching in Trinitarian churches. God filled 307 Trinitarians with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we were secretly rebaptizing them in the only saving name, in bathtubs, in hotels, in houses. Why? Because there is nothing like the gospel of the kingdom of the... Matter of fact, we're going back to Mongolia in September. Brother Art Wilson is going with us. He's already reached out to the ambassador of Mongolia to schedule a meeting with the president of Mongolia. We're going to sit down with the leadership of that nation and talk to them about the gospel, to open the door of the kingdom of God in a communist nation. And I'm going to tell you what I believe is going to happen. I believe God's going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. I believe that God is going to give the United Pentecostal Church in Mongolia favor that no other church in the nation has. I believe it's going to open the door for the 1.3 million people that live in Ulaanbaatar to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with... I could literally tell you testimonies all day long. All day long. But here we are in the last days. And I know we're just a few days before Christmas. But the greatest gift you could ever receive this Christmas is the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's on your Christmas list. I'm sure you all had one. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Ghost is going to far surpass everything you wanted, every earthly gain you were seeking. The Holy Ghost is going to change your life, your family, your hope, your future. Friends, there is no reason to leave the same way that you came.